Do you remember your very first word? I guess none of us remember that. Perhaps it was told to us by our mother or our father. It might be something like mama or dada, right? Now, imagine if you are still using that word in every kind of conversation you have today. It would sound quite silly, wouldn't it? As we grow, we develop our vocabulary and carefully choose our words to communicate clearly and effectively. And every word we say speaks a volume about who we are, what we believe, and how we see the world. From the moment we begin to speak, we're crafting an image of ourselves through our language. And the way the world perceives us is greatly influenced by our words. And then in turn, we receive responses based on that perception. And then again, respond again with words that will influence the world by how it perceives us. It's a continuous interaction cycle that shapes our future. Therefore, words, our words, matter. It's so crucial that we choose our words wisely and use them purposefully. So today, that's what we are going to talk about. We're going to dive into the book of Proverbs regarding how we use our words, particularly at Proverbs 10. Because the major emphasis of this Proverbs is about how we use our words. There are many wisdom texts that we can find in the world, but the book of Proverbs stands out. Why? Because it claims to provide reliable guidance for life, because the wisdom that is compiled in it is straight from the Lord. So as we explore Proverbs, about how we use our words, this is what I want you to get from our sermon today. Use your words wisely by fearing the Lord. That's the main and core message that we are going to talk about today. Use your words wisely by fearing the Lord. And the goal of this message is so that our mouth would be transformed by God shaping our hearts to reflect a life like that of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will be looking at this into three main categories, and that those are the reasons why our words matter. The reasons why our words matter. These 3 points, I categorize it to this. First, our words can reveal or conceal who we are. Our words can reveal or conceal who we are. Second, our words have consequences. Our words have consequences. And lastly, our words serve a purpose. Our words serve a purpose. You can find those outlined in your bulletin. So let's read the key scripture passage which I would like you to take away when you leave this place. And that is Proverbs 10:11. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. I will repeat that. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. Let's pray before we move on to our sermon. Father, I pray that as I open my mouth, your word might be proclaimed in power by your Holy Spirit to change our mouth and so that it might look like that of Jesus Christ, him who was crucified for our salvation. Let your word exalt him, humble us, and promote holiness in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. First, our words can reveal or conceal who we are. Imagine for a moment that you have a persistent headache and it is bothering you. Naturally, you might reach for a painkiller like a Panadol to alleviate the discomfort. And sure enough, because this is a persistent headache, it comes again and it is a little bit frustrating. And the thing we need to know about a persistent headache is that it's just a symptom. It's not the actual problem. The underlying issue could be something more serious. Maybe like your poor eyesight. Maybe a high blood pressure. Or maybe a stress in the work. And by only treating the headache or the symptom, you're not addressing the true sickness. To find true relief, you need to identify and treat the underlying condition. Now let's look at some helpful passages in Proverbs that will help us understand that our words can sometimes serve like a symptom to an underlying disease. The problem with words alone is that it can reveal or conceal who we truly are. And if we treat only the surface, which is our words only, not the underlying condition of our hearts, we will not receive the proper healing that we need. So allow me to read again Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. I want also for us to look at Proverbs 10:6. Proverbs 10:6, it says, blessings are on the head of the righteous, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. And if you can notice, these two passages has the same second line. But when you look at Proverbs 10:6, it doesn't show us a contrast that Solomon is intending to do in Proverbs. You know, when you read Proverbs, commonly there's a contrast between the first line and the second line. And so the question for us is, what is the relation or the contrast of the blessing on the head of the righteous versus the mouth of the wicked that conceals violence? Let's define first what is this blessing of the righteous. In the Hebrew tradition, the blessing of the righteous is a person laying his hand on someone's head to pronounce blessings. And we can read that, an example of that in Genesis 48 when Jacob or Israel was placing his right hand over Ephraim and his left hand over Manasseh. And so he was blessing Ephraim over Manasseh. That's the example of blessing on the head of the righteous. Solomon contrasts it with the wicked concealing violence through their mouth. And to understand this, we need to look at these two passages and define also what's happening in the first line and in the second line. Now we look at Proverbs 10:11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. What is a fountain of life? Well, a fountain of life in the Hebrew culture, which is very familiar with famine and drought during the Old Testament, a fountain of life is very significant aid. It's a very helpful thing to happen, to found a fountain of life. And we can compare that in the New Testament when we find the Samaritan woman in the well. And she met Jesus. What happened on that? The Samaritan woman was longing for a water that can quench her thirst. And so she asked Jesus in John chapter 7, verse 37 to 39. And so if we compare these two passages together, we can somehow understand that the opposite of mouth of the wicked concealing violence can be the contrast of those who are experiencing devastation of a drought or famine. It's a violent devastation of drought and famine. It is an unending thirst. And then going back to God's blessing the righteous, it is the contrast of God's blessing. It is missing God's blessing. That's what Solomon wants us to know. That the contrast between these two is blessing and life versus violence and death. What does Solomon want us to know about this? Well, the Samaritan woman found the source of living water in Jesus Christ, right? The one who experienced the blessing of the Lord is connected to God. And so we can know that if something is connected to God, the source of life, then that is considered to be a righteous thing. The mouth of the righteous is compared to that that has the blessing of the righteous and the fountain of life, while the mouth of the wicked is something that concealing violence, like that of a famine or drought. It is a stark warning, therefore, that the wicked's mouth conceals violence, according to Proverbs 10:6 and Proverbs 10:11. And that there is a hidden sickness and difficult to treat if it is concealed or hidden. Think of it this way. The righteous are like an open spring, clearly giving life. While the wicked, they're like a stagnant water in a dirty pond, waiting to be stirred so that the dirt will come up. Their violence is concealed, lurking just beneath the surface. However, Proverbs also assures us that this hidden violence and destruction will eventually be revealed through the evil that awaits them. And so, friends, this is a reminder for us to check ourselves. Do you mind the words that you are speaking? Is it giving evidence to life and blessings? Does it contain something that build up and not tear down? When you speak, what kind of words can you compare them to? Are they words that give life and blessing? Or are they words that's trying to hide our sinfulness in us? Only ourselves and the Lord knows about it. The second thing that we can see from this passage or understand from this passage is that our words reveal the kind of child we are. It reveals the kind of child we are. We get to understand this when we go to Proverbs 10, 1-5, where Solomon compiled together some proverbs to contrast about the wise son and the foolish son. Here, let me read to you the passage of Proverbs 10, 1-5. Solomon's proverbs: a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son, heartache to his mother. Ill-gotten gains do not profit anyone, but righteousness rescues from death. The Lord will not let the righteous go hungry, but he denies the wicked what they crave. Idle hands make one poor, but diligent hands bring riches. The son who gathers during the summer is prudent. The son who sleeps during the harvest is disgraceful. So imagine Solomon's proverb as a parent describing two different kind of children so that his own son would choose what he should become one day. Like the way you teach your children. He's laying out what a good kid and a bad kid would choose and do, and the consequences of those actions. A foolish son chooses dishonest wealth, laziness, and sleep during harvest season. A wise and righteous son, however, chooses honesty, diligence, and being prudent. And the result? The wise son is provided for and honored, while the foolish son faces hunger and shame. And if you study the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, I encourage you to read that. It's Solomon's Proverbs, and it's a list of advice that King Solomon is telling his son, whose choices and actions must be influenced by the fear of the Lord, so that he would be a wise and righteous son. And we see that great fulfillment when the Son came to us, the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose what is righteous, and he chose what is wise. And so now, after 9 chapters, we now go to the beginning of chapter 10. We can read now in verse 1, a wise son makes his father happy, but the foolish son makes his mother sad. And with chapter 10, talking more about the words of a person, it tells us that our words should be connected to the fear of the Lord, so that as God's children, if we consider ourselves to be one, a wise son, make our father happy by the words that we speak. But a foolish son makes his mother sad. Without the fear of the Lord, this cannot happen. We cannot please the Lord. That's what Solomon is trying to say in chapter 1 to 9, and then landing on the stage of Proverbs 10:1. Because if not, it would eventually lead to perilous life and destruction if we do not have the fear of the Lord. And we will be like that of a foolish and wicked son. We will experience that perilous life if we become the foolish son, if not in this life, to the eternal one to come. Where our words reveal what kind of child we are. Our words can also reveal or conceal the condition of our hearts. Please look at how Solomon dig deeper to the root problem, going forward to Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. Proverbs 10, 20. He said in Proverbs 10, 20, the tongue of the righteous is of pure silver, the heart of the wicked is of little value. This proverb connects the tongue directly to the heart of the person. He compared the heart of the wicked to the tongue of the righteous, that while the righteous value his words, okay, the wicked's heart is of little value, as shown as how he values his own words. And it is proven in the prior verses, which is verse 18 to 19, how the wise value his words and how the foolish value his words. Let's go back to Proverbs 10, 18 to 19. It says that the one who conceals hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Verse 19, when there are many words, sin is unavoidable, but the one who controls his lip is prudent. It tells us again that the wicked can conceal or hide or cover up the content of his heart through his words. How? By lying. However, a heart that is filled with anger cannot help but speak slander to the one it hates. So it backfires to him or to her. He tries to cover up, but because the hatred which is the main issue of the heart, is there, cannot help but speak words against to those he hates. The wicked's words are also spoken rashly. When unfavorable circumstances comes to him, if there's a problem, he speaks rashly. And so he utter words and make him sin more. Unlike the righteous who is wise to control his own tongue when he is angry. And we read that a while ago. Don't speak when you are angry. Don't let your anger sleep with you. And this is also what the Lord Jesus is teaching us. We can see that in Luke chapter 6, verse 44 to 45. You know, Solomon is a great teacher, but the Lord Jesus is a greater teacher than him. And now the great teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ, is expounding to us the meaning of these proverbs. The Lord Jesus said here in this passage, Luke 6, 44 to 45, "For each tree is known by its own fruit. An evil person produces evil out of the evil stored up in his heart, for his mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart." Jesus teaches us that our hearts contain all the words that we speak. If our heart has been made righteous, know that righteousness will flow out of it. However, if our hearts remain unrighteous, know that what we will eventually speak will be evil towards others in one way or another. It will be evil that is not known to anyone but known to the Lord through lying, or it can be an evil like slander or rashly speaking with our using our words. So Jesus teaches us that our words reveal or may conceal the content of our hearts. As Solomon said that our mouth has the ability to conceal violence, Jesus also rebuked the Pharisees by concealing through their words the content of their hearts in Matthew chapter 12, 34 to 35. Jesus said the following words, "Brood of vipers, how can you speak good things when you are evil? For the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart. A good person produces good things from his storeroom of good, and an evil person produces evil things from the storeroom of evil." The problem with our words is that it can reveal or conceal the content of our hearts. And the Lord knows that. The Lord knows what truly is concealed on our mouth. This means that we need more than speech therapy or anger management in psychology. What we really need is a surgical operation of our spiritual heart. If the heart is cured, so are our words. But when the wicked whose heart that is sick conceals their true nature, the sickness of the heart cannot be healed. So dear friends, Proverbs 10:11 should lead us to the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, to heal the sickness that is our spiritual heart. And here are some ways to spiritually diagnose ourselves. Number one, assess your own self. How do you talk when you are angry? What thoughts are running in your head when things don't go your way? Proverbs 10:11 reminds us that there is a danger with how you conceal your sin with your words. And remember also that our lies, one that is considered sin, will eventually become slander because the hatred cannot be contained anymore. Your words really matter. If you are having a hard time to believe that maybe your heart needs checking, this is number two. Ask someone whom you trust how they would describe the words you speak. Do you speak life or blessings or words for building up and not tearing down? Ask them, do you appear good only in front of other people but tell bad things about other people when they are away from you? If you do, please know that the words that we speak can conceal the violence that is in our hearts, and it is ungodliness before God. That's why we need a church family. We need brothers and sisters. Just like how the spiritual, how the earthly family is affected by our deeds and our behavior, we need our spiritual family who is greatly affected by our words, our actions and our words. If there's someone who can really feel and know you in your heart, go to that person. Ask him. Let you be accountable to him for the goal of repentance. That's what we talked about today in our Growing in Godliness class. Third, ask the Word of God to reveal your own condition. Use Proverbs to examine yourselves. Read Proverbs 11:12 and ask yourself, do I know how to be silent? Read Proverbs 17:27 and ask yourself, do I know how to control my speech or speak only helpful words? Read Proverbs 15:23 and ask yourself, are your words or are my words gifts to others? Do they bring joy? And fourth and last, this is what it is driving us to do. Pray to the Lord. Psalms 139:23-24 says, God, search my heart and reveal its true condition. I need you to change my heart. To my dear friends, if you are hearing this message for the first time and it is speaking to your life, then ask the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ, to heal your spiritual heart. Tell him that you cannot produce life-giving words on your own. God promises a new heart for those who will acknowledge their sinfulness and seek him, who can replace your dead heart with a heart that beats for God. That's what Ezekiel 11:19 is telling us, that God in his new covenant will replace our heart of stone with a heart of flesh that beats for God. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul also encouraged that those who are united in Christ Jesus will become a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17, the old will be gone and the new creation has come. You will have a new heart and the Spirit of God will be upon you. How can that happen? That can happen when you believe in Jesus' sacrifice and death on the cross, when he paid for the penalty of your sin. He died for you so that you would not die eternally to hell. And he was raised back to life after 3 days and is now alive, sitting in his throne, reigning, so that he can give life to those who ask of him, and he can give them new heart, overflowing with the life that we need and not violence. Our words matter because they will tell something about us according to the condition of our hearts. We may hide to other people our true inner selves, but the Bible also tells us that the words we speak have consequences. And that's the second point. Our words have consequences. Allow me to read Proverbs 10:21. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but the fools die for lack of sense. And then allow me also to read Proverbs 10:24-25. What the wicked dreads will come to him, but what the righteous desire will be given to them. When the whirlwind passes, the wicked are no more, but the righteous are secure forever. So allow me to explain these passages a little bit. Solomon keeps on building on the ideas from earlier Proverbs in Proverbs 10. We already saw how wise and foolish choices differ, how their words differ. But now he gets to the end of the story. What did he say in verse 21? He said, "Fools die for lack of sense." That's a pretty sad ending, isn't it? Especially when you think that the righteous are enjoying life by being nourished and nourishing many. There's a clear contrast given to us. And the metaphor or the language that Solomon is using here is like that of a sheep being taken care of the shepherd. The righteous are like the sheep, safe and sound with their shepherd, enjoying life. The fools, they are like lost sheep, wandering cluelessly into danger and heading to their death. Then Solomon gives us a deeper sense by going to verse 24 to 25. Now he is clearly driving to the heart, which tells about hopes and fears. He's trying to drive his point home. He's not just talking about just the surface level anymore. He's getting to the heart of the person. The righteous look forward for tomorrow with hope because their faith is on a sure foundation. That's what we read in verse 24. And in verse 24, we can read that the wicked, they are living in fear because they have no foundation. Verse 25 says that the wicked, the violence that is awaiting him, that is God's judgment. And it can be compared to a whirlwind. And that is something that the Bible describes about God's judgment. We can read that in Job 27, 19 to 21. And it's also described in Psalms 58, 9. It's like a sudden and overwhelming burst of anger of God that the foolish will face. And so the words that we have, that the words that we use, they have consequences. It has consequence now, and it has consequence in the coming future. The Lord Jesus solemnly warns us also that our words have consequences. He said that every single word we speak has significance. Whether they are truthful or lies to cover up something, Jesus said in Matthew 12, "I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." And so Jesus here is addressing the Pharisees. They're trying to conceal their rotting, sinful soul with beautiful words. But Jesus said, "Your careless words, not some of them, but all of your careless words will be taken into account." And that's a sobering thought, isn't it? Especially for those of us who tend to carelessly speak during the height of our emotions. The Bible makes it clear that God's warning are for everyone who needs to hear them. We've seen through the Bible how often, again and again, he warns his own people, and his own people faced the consequence. Although, if we are God's children, we need to understand that this warning is rooted in his love. He doesn't want us to be destroyed like the wicked. And unlike the wicked, God's children respond to God's call for repentance. That is the main difference between the righteous and the wicked. So this Proverbs is a call for God's children who might be straying by using their own words. They need to understand that they need to turn back to the shepherd. Christians, you need to guard your mouth and more importantly, your heart, knowing that your word have real and lasting consequences. It's a true warning. But if you are the one who is ignoring this warning, whether you call yourself a Christian or not, understand that this is a true warning that brings God's judgment. And it is terrifying. And the Bible is full of examples of people who disregarded God in His warning, who clung to their pride, continue with their lies, continue with their careless words. One example of that is Babylon. At the height of his own power, he said that this is all because of my power. They were suddenly struck down by the whirlwind of God's judgment and never to rise again. And in the future, there is a future Babylon who boast themselves because of their own doing. The same fate awaits for those who disregard God's warning. Our words have consequences. If you are listening to this, my dear friend, and this is speaking to your heart, please notice the stark difference of a heart that is transformed by God. A heart that is transformed by God uses the mouth, his own mouth, with the fear of the Lord. If you are now sensing that you need this kind of heart, listen to the gospel message proclaimed by the Bible through the prophets. In Ezekiel 36, 26 to 27, the prophet promised God's new covenant to those who will believe in his gospel. It says something like this: I will give you a new heart, a new spirit within you I will put. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will place my spirit within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. My dear friend, no matter how much we try to conceal ourselves through our words, our true heart's condition is revealed to God with our folly. And judgment awaits for us if we try to conceal that violence. You need this heart transformation that only Christ Jesus can give. Jesus said in John 6:63, the spirit is the one who gives life. The flesh doesn't help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. The Lord Jesus Christ is giving us that life. Our own effort to change our own words doesn't help. We need a new heart. You need the Spirit of God to give you life that comes from Jesus. And with His life in you, your words will be like that fountain of life mentioned in Proverbs 10:11, coming from the mouth of a righteous, someone who is declared righteous because of the Lord Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. And this brings us to our last point today. God didn't give us the ability to speak just to hide who we are, but to display God's glory through our words. Our words should glorify God out of our fear of Him. This is the main purpose of our words. Our words have purpose. Allow me to read Proverbs chapter 10, verse 31 to verse 32. The mouth of the righteous produces wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. The lips of the righteous know what is appropriate, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. In these last two passages, Solomon continuously used imagery, pictures, so that we would understand what he is trying to say. Here he used the word cut out and produces, like that of how a tree needs to be pruned, to be cut, so that it can produce. It's an imagery of fruit-bearing tree that we can read in Proverbs 10:31 to show the difference between the righteous and the wicked. The mouth of the righteous produces wisdom, like a tree bearing good fruit. On the other hand, a perverse tongue will be cut out, similar to cutting off an unproductive or diseased branches, and that represents God's judgment. We see this good fruit-bearing tree imagery also when the Lord Jesus described it in John 15:1-2. He said, "He is the true vine, and his Father is the gardener. Any branch that doesn't produce fruit is removed, and he prunes the fruitful branches to make them more fruitful." Just as the righteous produce wisdom, God wants the words of the righteous to be like a tree that produces good fruit, connected to the source of life, who is no other than Jesus Christ himself, the true vine. And so what should the righteous produce by their own mouth? A lips that is fruitful to the praise of God's glory. A lips that is bearing the good news of Jesus Christ. A lips that is caring for a brother or sister in the Lord. A lips that is building up and not tearing down. However, Proverbs 10:32, Solomon also gives us a clear message that in Proverbs 10:32, he said, "The mouth of the wicked only what is perverse." The wicked will continue on speaking only perverse thing, avoiding true wisdom and failing to acknowledge God's judgment. Brothers and sisters, let this be a reminder for us that we need our life to be a good fruit-bearing tree, and we need to be connected to the true vine, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of our words according to Proverbs 10. It is to bear witness to the glory of God revealed through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is a result of a true fear of the Lord. A true fear of the Lord is understanding that God is holy and we should be holy, and our words should be to the glory of His name. So use your words wisely by fearing the Lord. In light of this, how should we think of our own life? Drawing from this verse, our mouth should reflect the love and kindness that the Spirit steals in us. Our words should be containing life and blessing, building up others, encouraging one another. Your words should be characterized by compassion and empathy, even in situations that are difficult times, to empathize to others. Galatians 5:20-23 also tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. Our hearts should naturally overflow to our mouth, and it should produce love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we read today in our second scripture reading, the Apostle Paul reminded the Christians in Ephesus that our lives, now that we know Jesus Christ, should be distinct from that of unbelievers. He calls us to a holy living by giving those practical examples. One of the practical examples is speaking the truth in love, building others up, offering grace to those who listen. Brothers and sisters, this is the kind of speech that should mark those who have been renewed in God's image and have known the fear of the Lord. That's the purpose the true purpose of our words. And so, brothers and sisters, our words are powerful and they do matter because they reveal what is in our hearts. They can either show our faithfulness, our blessing and fullness of life for the glory of God, or hide our true selves when we want to conceal our sins. Choose therefore wisely, because the righteous gets their reward when they glorify God through their words, but the wicked will be judged swiftly with violence. Today I urge you to be wise. Fear the Lord. Use your words wisely. Let us all pray.